You'd like to turn your Bibles to the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. These verses are dealing with the Lamb being worthy. Truly he is. Revelation 5, beginning with verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Truly worthy is the Lamb. We're looking at a new year, and in this new year, if we would consider the worthiness of Jesus and praise him for that worthiness, give him the honor and glory with our lives, a lot of things would be changed, service would be improved, if we would remember that our service is unto the Lord. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We're not worthy to be servants, but he is worthy to receive our best. We are guilty, condemned sinners, but he's without sin. We who have been saved because of what he has done for us ought to join the psalmist asking in Psalms 116 and verse 12, What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? How good's he been to you? How worthy are we? He's been good to us to the extent that we'd ought to be ashamed of ourselves continually because of the weakness of this old flesh that keeps us from really giving him the honor, the glory, and the praise that we'd ought to be, that keeps us from really living a life for him that we ought to live. We ought to consider these things, and we ought to look forward to the new year to make changes in our life that we might be able to give him honor and glory because he is so deserving. He's worthy of our praise. In Revelation 5, again, verses 9 and verse 12, he's worthy of our praise. Those in heaven were praising him. And they sung a new song, saying that thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. He's worthy. We ought to hear and listen to the psalmist as he calls for praise to the Lord. 107th Psalm. 107th Psalm, and we're going to begin with verse number 15. Says, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Did you know there was a time when the Lord's people would praise the Lord, would rejoice, would shout as they were moved by the Spirit, and as they felt the witness of the Spirit. They'd let go and they wouldn't worry about what other people thought or how they felt because they were truly praising the Lord. A bunch of people started putting on that business and faking it and promoting their cause and for their own gain, and so it pushed our people away from really truly praising the Lord, for really truly turning loose. And when we hear something that touches our heart and we fully agree with it and we're glad that it was brought forth, we ought to say amen at least. Or we ought to say praise the Lord. We ought to quit letting other people keep us from really truly praising the Lord, because he is worthy. That men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. And 107. Verse 21 and 22. That men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Declare his works with rejoicing? Do you witness to people being excited and enthusiastic and letting your love for the Lord show? Do we do that? We should. We should. The Bible, time and time again, emphasizes the fact that we should truly praise him and show forth his praise to others. 107 of Psalm, verses 31 and 32. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. We ought to praise him for his forgiveness. Isaiah 38 and verse number 17. Isaiah 38 and verse 17 says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." We ought to praise him for his forgiveness. He removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. He abolished those sins. We're not going to have to answer for them. We're not going to have to pay for them. Because he answered, and he made the payment for you and for me. We need to praise him for his forgiveness. We need to praise him for our daily provisions. 23rd Psalm, used a lot, but it's not used up. Beginning again with verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We need to praise him for forgiveness. We need to praise him for our daily provisions. We need to praise him for answered prayers. Look at Psalms 40, 40th Psalm. beginning with number one, verse number one. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. We ought to praise him because he's provided for us the sufficient grace that we need. In the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Then in Romans 5 and verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Then in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Been sufficient for you? I'll tell you what. It is exciting, but it is also frightening when you see how the grace of God has worked in your life and seen you through hardships and difficulties. Yeah. So we ought to praise him for it. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our person. Yeah. He deserves us. He deserved for us to give ourselves to him. Not to ourselves. That's who we give ourselves to most of the time, but to him. Again, when God calls a man to preach, he's calling him to a way of life. Not something he does on the sideline. When he calls members of a New Testament church, he's calling them to a way of life. Not just something you do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Not something you do because of the social entertainment and the gooey feelings that you get with brotherly love, supposedly, from time to time. He's worthy for us to give him our person. He's worthy of our heart's trust. Look at Proverbs 3. And verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. He's worthy of our heart's love and adoration. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Think about it. We were incapable of truly loving the Lord until he loved us, and because of that love was motivated to make the sacrifice and the payment that brought us to a place to where we could love. Without the Lord, all love is liking. There's a difference between liking somebody and loving somebody. And what a difference. You see, we need to understand that he is worthy of our person. We love him because he first loved us. Then he's worthy of our service. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now that's a way to say to us that we're not worthy of that calling. We're not deserving of that calling. It was by his grace that he's given us that call. Then 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 5. 1 Chronicles 29 and 5 says, "The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" All the material things that we worry about and concerned about, put them aside. Because it's not worthy of us doing that. He's worthy. He should be our treasure. And not the world and the things of the world. Romans 12 and 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Did you catch that? Present yourself. He's deserving of you. He's deserving of me. And we need to really put into practice the fact that our worship and service of the Lord is a way of life. And that that's first in our life. Foremost in our life. We should start every day off with our heart and our mind on Jesus. And we might even say a prayer first thing. We might even pick up our Bible and do a little bit of studying and reading and let him talk to us. In doing so, we may hide it in our heart and not sin against him like we would otherwise. He's worthy of our partnership. Think about it. We have a partnership with the Lord. We have a partnership with the Lord, and he's worthy of our part. And we ought to hold up our part. We ought to hold up our end of this partnership. He is the vine, and we are the branches. John 15 says, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." What is he saying? Unless we do it to him, it's worthless. We on our own and in ourselves, it's worthless. That which we do with him has eternal value. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. He's worthy because he's the vine. We're the branches. "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Now we talk about bringing forth fruit unto the Lord. He doesn't want to be, he's not satisfied with just bringing forth fruit. He wants us to bring forth much fruit. And that should bring us to the idea that we have to put forth a great effort in order to do that. Without me, you can do nothing. My goodness. Without him, if we do it, it's not worth anything. He is a builder, and we are the house. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." He's the builder. We're the house. He is the king. We are the ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." We are ambassadors for the king. We are his representatives in this world that we're in today. He is the living word. We are the witnesses and messengers of the living word. Luke 24, begin with verse number 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Who he's talking to? He's talking to the New Testament church. We're witnesses of these things. His witnesses. We're not the witness of ourselves. We're the witness of him. I get frustrated when I sit under a message and it's all about God's people straightening their lives out and getting squared around and doing this and doing that. I get a little bit irritated. I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about Jesus. I don't want it to witness for myself or them to witness for themselves. I want to witness for Jesus. He is the master light. We are the reflectors of that light. John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then Matthew 5 verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now Jesus said, as long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. But when he went out of this world and went back to the right hand of the Father in glory, then the church is the light of the world. You and I are the light of this world. The world is in darkness, and we're to shine into the darkness of that world. And we can't do it if we hide our light under a bushel. What is it talking about? It's talking about being afraid to shine that light in public, being afraid to shine that light on the job, being afraid to shine that light to that individual because we may drive him further away. He may reject us. And how horrible is that, to be rejected? We don't go because of fear. And what does the Bible say? Perfect love casteth out fear. Maybe there's something wrong with our love for him because we don't. Now, we're looking at a new year. We need to search our hearts and our souls and see where we're at with this. It is important. No question about it. He is worthy of our participation. Abilities God can use. Availability. Dependability. Stickability and usability. He can use those things. How are we doing? Participate means to take part. Yeah, it means to take part. Share the responsibility. Well, I'm not going to witness this person because so-and-so is going to witness to them. Why waste our time out here knocking on doors and visiting with people and working with people because the religion out here is going to do that? They're going to present a perverted gospel that's going to make people religious and not saved. We have the truth that will set them free from the condemnation and the burden of sin. We can light a light in their darkness and make a difference. So we need to participate. We need to take part. And we need not to fear, but let the Lord take care of the results. He's worthy of our possessions. He gave it to us for a season. You know, everything we have is by the grace of God. He lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust alike, doesn't he say? So what the lost people in the world out here have is by the grace of God. What we have is by the grace of God. It all belongs to Him. He's just loaning it to us for a little while. We need to repay Him. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 16. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. He owns it all. It all belongs to Him. And then in Leviticus 27, verses 30 and 31. Leviticus 27, verses 30 and 31. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and the first fruit of all of thine increase. He's worthy. Worthy because He's the Lamb of God. John the Baptist told the world, as Jesus come walking, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the payment for man's sin. Yeah. That sacrifice paid the price. When He said it's finished, He'd finished everything that required to bring man back into a relationship with God. And then when man will submit and yield and follow the Lord, then he can have a fellowship with Him as well. Where do you follow Him? You follow Him after salvation of scriptural baptism. And then He adds you to a New Testament church. And then you can labor together with Him because He labors in a New Testament church. Why? Because He shed His blood for it. Why? Because He died for it. Now we can spurn it all we want. We can quit calling it church and call it a fellowship or whatever. And actually the fellowship is a social. Whatever we want to do. But it doesn't change the fact that church, the true church, is important to Jesus, because when He built that church, He promised it would continually exist down through the ages. As a matter of fact, it'll exist throughout eternity in the bride, in that holy city, New Jerusalem, that comes down from God out of heaven. Oh yes, He's worthy. No question about it. We are unworthy. But He is worthy. And did you know that He's willing to share His worthiness with us that we might have some? Did you know that He's willing to impute His righteousness to us that we might have some? Because we don't have any of our own. Our righteousnesses are as the filthy rags in the sight of God, according to the Spirit through the prophet. We don't have any of our own. He's willing to share it. And brother, we ought to praise Him. We ought to follow Him. We ought to worship Him. We ought to serve Him. And you know what? We ought to prepare ourselves when we come to services to worship Him, because we come together to worship Him. There's no other purpose for us to come together than to worship Him in spirit and in truth. How often do we do that? How many times do we come to services and we don't accomplish that? How often do we sit under a message, whether it's a message of song or whether it's a message of a lesson or whether it's a message of preaching or whatever it is, how often do we let go and let the Spirit witness with our spirit and experience that it comes and it goes. We don't know where it come from or where it went, but we know it was there. How many times do we rejoice? And how many times when that opportunity comes, we harden ourselves to it? Because you see, we don't want to put it on. We want it to be sincere and genuine. And so we resist. And pretty soon our self-righteousness takes over. And pretty soon, Spirit's not bearing witness with our spirit. If you're here tonight, the Spirit of God's convicted your heart. You need to come to Jesus. If you don't know him as your Savior, you need to repent of your sins and by faith trust him as Savior. And you know, lately, repentance. I've had people, some of them out in the world, some of them in other religions, and some of them from the Lord's churches, point out the fact, and I had it pointed out to me here the other evening as we were going out of the building. A visitor told me they appreciated hearing about repentance because they don't hear that anymore. He said, I wonder why we don't want to preach repentance. Because if we do, we have to admit we're guilty. We have to admit our sins. But it takes repentance, because without repentance, there's no salvation. There's no eternal life. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, follow Jesus. Come to him. What shall we sing, brother? 200.